This is Justin from Semi-Precious Weapons.
Tyler from Neon Trees.
This is Tim Nordwin from the band OK Go.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
You are listening to High Voltage.
Welcome back to a special edition High Voltage Radio Hour live from San Diego Comic-Con. We have not done this in 3 years. This is Chelsea. With me today is Kristen and Trina.
Hello.
Hello. Well, this is Trina. That was Kristen.
And we're going to start telling you all about the San Diego Comic-Con things. We usually do this in a different format where we go live every day of Comic-Con, but there's so much going on this year. And after 3 years of not having a Comic-Con, it's a little more overwhelming than normal. So we're doing one podcast tonight to recap Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll be back on Saturday to recap Friday and Saturday. And yeah, let's just jump right into it. So what did we do on Wednesday?
Wednesday was technically preview night, which is the night that at Comic-Con we usually get to see
previews.
Pilot episodes and previews of things. But it's a brand new world, and there were absolutely no previews to be seen. So they should have changed the name.
Yeah, but definitely a theme of this year is a lot of things that we're used to not existing, and not having pilot episodes on preview night, so strange.
I'll tell you what did deliver, however, and that was the activations we got to preview before the general public.
What activations in particular?
So what did we do? We did The Gray Man on Netflix. That was a really fun activation where we got to prove our strength, our skill, and what was the third one?
Our speed. Yes, yes. The Gray Man is a new to Netflix movie. It actually starts streaming in about 30 minutes from the current time that we're recording this podcast on Netflix. It's been in theaters for about a week now. Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, Reggae Jean Page, Billy Bob Thornton, Alfre Woodard, amazing cast from the Russo Brothers. And they built this activation where you can actually train to be Sierra Six. And you go through an escape room and you end up at the after the escape room on top of a train and you're running across it and they give you this cool video thing. And that was probably one of the best thought out activations, I feel like, so far.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And the way it feels like, if you haven't seen the show, I hope you plan on seeing the show. Just think Mission Impossible meets The Bourne Identity. That's The Gray Man. And Chris Evans has a weird-ass porn stash. Don't know how I feel about it, but there you go.
Speaking of someone who has seen The Gray Man, Chris Evans plays a phenomenal villain, and the stash makes all the sense for his character choice in that, but it's not becoming of Chris at all.
Which is probably the point, because he's kind of a bad guy, so it emphasizes his badness. Sidebar, the project is a Russo Brothers project, and if you're familiar with the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then you know who the Russo Brothers are. So, Chris Evans, Russo Brothers, guaranteed hit.
Absolutely. So, that was a great activation. Otherwise, Kristen, you and me went to House of the Dragon, the Dragon's Den, on Wednesday night, and then Trina got to experience it earlier today. I have to say, out of past years of Comic-Con experience, the Game of Thrones activation has always been really above and beyond fun, lots of photo ops. And I was expecting bigger and better from House of the Dragon. What about you guys?
Well, we did get to hatch our very own dragons.
I'm sorry, I did not see the dragon hatch. They just said it hatched. That was very anticlimactic to me.
Mine hatched. Totally hatched. And flew.
And flew? You saw a dragon?
I saw my dragon and I fed it.
We got gypped.
I think she's referring to the app, which I personally couldn't get to work.
Oh, yeah. It didn't work on my phone either. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but your point, funny you should bring that up about the activation being a little less than we usual. Kristen and I were sitting across the street from the Omni Hotel, and we were literally reminiscing about the previous Game of Thrones activation. Now, amazing it was.
Yes.
This one was okay. It was fine. It was serviceable.
The best part of this one were the character actors. I have to give a huge shout out and kudos to everybody that they hired for that activation, because they were a lot of fun to talk to, and the improv was on point.
They were so in character. They were totally Fleabottom, and Westeros and all that good stuff. They were amazing.
Kristen, did you have any thoughts?
I felt uncomfortable. It's my thought. Honestly, it was a great way to immerse yourself in an experience, having you sort of forced to enter this world. But personally, I prefer museum style activations where I get to see objects or
and
something.
You don't have to interact.
And I don't have, exactly. I'm great with the dragons, not so much with the people.
That's fair. That's entirely fair. I just also felt like the lighting was so bad that you couldn't really film anything in this activation. So even if you weren't trying to post to social media or do a recap, just as a personal keepsake, there wasn't much to take back from. And then at the end, you did get a really epic photo op on the Iron Throne, which was really nice to see again. I feel like that was a better Iron Throne shot than I've seen in previous years. But then the swag. Remember those Game of Thrones swags from before? We got house high voltage shirts. You got to put your custom name on your shirt. We got Funko Pops and tote bags. And we got a little pin this year. P-I-N, little tiny dragon egg pin.
And part of me just wants to chalk that up to this is a new series, a new project. But I don't know. I don't know what the activation was like the first year of Game of Thrones, so I have nothing to compare it to. I only have to compare to that activation we went to. That was amazing. It was probably a bad idea. But it's a new show. It's a new activation. Cool.
Fair enough. What was the other thing? We had something else on Wednesday that I'm not even remembering now.
You went to the Dungeons and Dragons Tavern.
That is correct. I went to the D&D Tavern. So you guys haven't been there yet, so I'll fill you in a little bit. So this was just a bar that they reskinned to look like what you would imagine a Dungeons and Dragons Tavern to be. And the libations were Dragon's Brew, which you could get with alcohol or without alcohol. I obviously got the non-alcoholic version. They had a giant screen where occasionally a dragon flew over, or if he was a little more aggressive, would light the place on fire and blow smoke at you and all sorts of heat things, which was really kind of fun and cool and atmospheric. And they had characters around that were hosting quests and toasts and various things. And they also had these strange mojito jello shots, which were in this very cylinder tube that was nearly impossible to get the jello shot out of, according to my friends that tried it. They were like, who has a tongue this long? It was a drinking game within itself, I felt like, that you needed to roll for initiative just to be able to drink this jello shot. And then they had a fun photo op in a gelatinous cube, which really actually came out quite cute. And you got to walk away with your own custom D&D Stein, which was pretty rad.
You know what else we got to do that night? We got backstage to a TV show, The Patrick Star Show.
Oh, yeah, I guess we were sort of backstage. I mean, we got inside access to both Tom and Bill, the voices of SpongeBob and Patrick, and we've got a high voltage interview soon to come. Trina, who actually interviewed them, is just nodding her head like you guys can see her on this podcast right now.
Sorry about that. Fun fact, Tom Kenny and I, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, were born on the same day, so we high-fived over our birthday kinship.
A great moment, and probably one of our best swag moments so far of Comic-Con, too. We got surprised with these really epic Nickelodeon, plush blankets afterwards, which was a really wonderful surprise. Thank you so much, Nickelodeon. That was very sweet. I also visited the Disney Plus booth and picked up the exclusive to Comic-Con Alice in Wonderland teacup and saucer, which made me very happy. And we picked up a Miss Minutes from the Loki series kitchen timer because, if you guys don't already know, we have a popular game called 60 Seconds With, and we usually have multiple cameras and microphones with us when we're at Comic-Con, and we do have multiple cameras and microphones, but we have some new setups this year, making it harder for us to keep time. So this kitchen timer was perfect, perfect timing.
Absolutely ideal.
Yeah. Couldn't have had a better SDCC exclusive. Thank you, Disney Plus, for that. I guess that was pretty much Wednesday night, though. So let's talk about Thursday. I feel like obviously Wednesday there wasn't any panels, but I didn't get into any panels. You guys did. What kind of panels happened today?
We went to a couple panels, the new National Treasure TV series. We went to that panel followed by the Severance panel. And I think both of them, it was interesting in that this was in one of the biggest rooms in all of Comic-Con, yet the panel room wasn't very full.
This seems to be a theme. I'm hearing this from everyone. Even the biggest room, Hall H, was only at half capacity today?
Apparently. So, Trina, what did you think of the panels?
The National Treasure one, now I've never seen any of the National Treasures movies, but I get the theme. So they're pretty much just carrying on the National Treasure theme, but with younger characters. So there's that. But Severance was, now I haven't even seen the show, and I'm going to see the show now that I've seen the panel. Because
first
Kristen's
of all, it's
been,
Apple TV Plus, where it's all about quality over quantity.
That's what they say. Even though Kristen has been talking the show up, and you've seen it too.
Yes.
You guys talking it up got me like 72% of the way wanting to see the show. But after
peer
the panel
pressure
with Ben Stiller, fun fact, weirdly, this was his very first Comic-Con ever. Like, how
I mean,
did
a lot of comedians
happen?
Don't end up at Comic-Con, although I think Zoolander would be an amazing panel to have at Comic-Con.
Like, how that guy never made it to Comic-Con before, but hearing them talk about the show and how they created it and what they were thinking with little certain things, like even the coloring, like the actress's hair color in the scheme of what's going on. It's like, oh, I might dive into this. I'll give it an episode or three.
And this is why San Diego Comic-Con panels work.
My favorite fun fact from the panel was that apparently the show was supposed to be even weirder than it is in its original concept.
So it's toned down in weirdness now is what you're saying.
That is what the creator inferred, including he had some really fun scenes with some disembodied legs wandering around freely.
Oh, like a chicken with its head cut off.
Apparently. And that, to me, it reminded me of Ally McBeal and the Dancing Baby.
Oh.
And that
Ooga
vibe.
Chaka. Ooga,
exactly. Ooga. One of my favorite shows of all time.
I can't stop this. I'm just going to sing for the rest of the podcast now.
We'll sit here. Go ahead.
We can move on.
Speaking of singing.
Oh.
My other highlight today from the panels was on the National Treasure panel, where apparently the entire cast is skilled vocally, and someone hit a note, and then someone else harmonized that note, and before you know it, the entire panel was performing this beautiful note in multi-harmony. Why are you looking
so
at me?
So you're
like
saying
that
the National Treasure series could end up having a musical episode is what you're telling me.
This is now my biggest hope.
That, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. I got to attend the National Treasure press room today. So y'all saw the panel and I was in the press room where I found out a bunch of other really fun facts about the show, including the fact that this series is within the National Treasure universe and happening in real time. So those movies, however long ago they were in our reality, we're now 18 years later, which it might actually be 18 years since those movies came out. They came out a while ago. So the few actors that are returning, like Harvey Keitel, are now 18 years older than the last time you saw them. And I'm kind of excited for that. And so far they've announced that there's 3 actors that were in those movies that are coming back. And they've hinted that another one will also be coming back. And I feel like I can safely tell you so far that is not Nicolas Cage. Because the amount of direct negatives, I will say, that we got from the roundtables at National Treasure was nowhere close to being Nick Cage. So figure out who else it might be, and you might be a little more accurate on that one. We also found out that the show is really diving into Indigenous women as a theme, and it centers around a Latinx woman who is now the big treasure hunter of the series and her group of friends. And what's really great is that the actress, our lead actress, actually went to Mexico with her family and studied a lot of this culture because it's where she's from. And she didn't know any of it. And now she feels even more empowered to tell the story because it is her story. And they don't just talk about Aztecs, but they also talk about Mayans and Incans. And I think there's a lot of rich history there for us to do some treasure hunting.
History is not just the founding fathers.
Yes. And speaking of the founding fathers, we actually learned from the Wibs that they brought back the Benjamin Franklin bifocals that you see in the National Treasure movies for the series because they learned that while writing the movie. And it's her favorite historical fact that she didn't know Ben Franklin invented the bifocals and they had to bring it back.
That's delightful.
It is delightful. I'm surprised when you brought up the singing thing that you didn't mention that Antonio was in Jagged Little Pill because I know you love him.
I was very excited when he walked out onto the stage because I had no idea. Jagged Little Pill is one of my favorite musicals. I was very fortunate to see the original cast before it left Broadway and before Broadway shut down. And he was a standout for me vocally. And I was very excited to see him, although it means he will not be singing in the near future, which made me a little sad.
Or at least not on Broadway.
Which is why, again, we need the musical episode very soon.
Well, they did just wrap like 2 weeks ago, so give them a little time to get things together. Maybe they get renewed for season two. Maybe that musical episode comes. Here's an interesting other fun fact I found out, though. So the show takes place in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Did you know that?
I did not.
So it's actually taking place in Baton Rouge, and they actually filmed it in Baton Rouge. Who does that?
This show?
Yeah. Like, literally, it is so rare. They will film New York and Los Angeles and Los Angeles and New York, and it'll be in the dead of winter in New York when they do this and snowing and somehow make it look like Los Angeles. Like, and they actually spent 6.5 months in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where apparently the people were like bending over backwards, Southern hospitality, couldn't believe that they had a National Treasure series filming there. And other fun fact, Nick Cage has a tombstone in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yes, a tombstone.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I asked. We found out from Lyndon Smith, she actually went and visited it. She did like a tour of the cemetery because he felt like when he went to Louisiana for the first time, it felt like home to him, the way that London feels like home to me. So he wanted to have some connection there. So he has the National Treasure Pyramid there.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Really cool. Random facts for you.
A fun fact that got me thinking about, you were like, who does that actually goes to the city that the show is supposed to be based in and film? I just thought that the one most recent one, Cloak and Dagger, did that.
Where were they? Atlanta?
New Orleans.
So they filmed in New Orleans. NOLA.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, it is rare, though. I mean, it does happen. I'm not going to lie. It's not the first time it's ever happened. I know Miss Congeniality actually did film some in Texas for the second movie, which took place in Texas. But it's just rare, y'all.
Yeah, that's the only show I can think of that's done that recently.
So, speaking of press rooms, I also did the round table with Dominic Monaghan today. No cheers for that. No excitement. No one cares. I'm the only Lord of the Rings nerd, apparently, in this room. So Dominic Monaghan, I can't even get words out today, was Mariadoc Brandybuck, half of Merry and Pippin in Lord of the Rings, my favorite hobbits. And Dom has done a million things since then. He's Lost. He's a host for all sorts of nature shows. And now he is the voice of Moriarty. Jesus, why can't I get words out today? In Audible's, it's literally called Moriarty, right? Or is there a longer title to it?
It's Moriarty.
Okay. I felt like there was a colon and some stuff that went after it. So it's an audio listening series. And Billy Boyd is also in it, who is Peregrine Took Pippin, his counterpart. You also have Phil LaMarr, great voice cast. So this is within the Sherlock universe. And I got to listen to Dom talk about the process of recording this, where him and Billy were the only two actors that actually went into the studio together to do their parts and play off of each other. And everyone else in the series did it on their own. So that's some fancy like editing, first of all, in post, but just some fun little nuggets of information. I just love hearing about Billy and Dom doing things in life together because it feels like they do everything. And I know that they don't do everything, but every time they do something else, I just feel like an angel gets its wings.
In our minds, they are always together.
Always.
And our hearts.
Yeah, which is probably why everyone kept asking, so can you speak to your relationship about Billy Boyd?
So much more to them. And that's probably why I don't even think about him as Lord of the Rings, because he's done so much stuff. He's done so much other stuff. So Lord of the Rings is kind of removed for me from him.
That's just where it started. It's where the friendship started, you know? And speaking of the friendship of Billy and Dom, if you don't listen to the Friendship Onion, their podcast, you should totally add that to your list. It is fantastic.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, moving on. We had a surprise press room last minute today, too. We went to the Vampire Academy press room, which is a brand new series from the showrunners of Vampire Diaries and The Originals.
And Legacy.
Apparently that was an important fact.
Yeah, that's the offshoot of The Originals.
Oh, all the vampire things, y'all. So basically what we're saying is that these people are experts in all things vampires. And what did you learn, Trina? Because I know you asked why this show? What makes it different and unique? Why did we need another vampire story?
Well, the two showrunners seem to have a very specific idea about this one. And Vampire Academy, basically it's about this relationship between these two lady vampire who are friends. But in this vampire society, there is a definite societal structure. There's different, very specific classes. So one of the things that they're very interested in with this show is kind of making that relevant social statement about the differences in classes. Can these people be friends? How do they relate? You know, they are the royals, the upper class, you know, special elite tea drinking vampires. And then you have, you know, the people at the very bottom in a caste system.
Wait, hold on. Vampires drink tea?
Yeah, I was getting stuck on that one too.
She got very kind of specific about they have very specific feeding habits. And yes, they will drink tea, but they also very particular about their blood.
I mean, do they drop blood in the tea?
They probably do.
It's blood tea.
Blood tea.
Sort of like boba tea, but blood.
Wait. Hold the phone. What?
I just had to say boba because it would wake Kristen up.
Now she's going to go try and find it somewhere.
She's going to go invent
I've
boba blood
I've never wanted to be a vampire more than in this moment.
Speaking of vampire things, there's a lot of vampire stuff going on at Comic-Con this year. We've got Reginald the Vampire, a new series for Peacock, or no, it's Sci-Fi, which is owned by Universal. Then Vampire Academy on Peacock. What We Do in the Shadows is here on FX, which just dropped a new season last week. Like, all like, vampires are in, y'all. Zombies
Interview
are out.
Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yeah. Again? We've got that. Yeah. Which is a series now. We're making a series out of it. So, zombies are out, vampires are in. So I expect for Halloween this year, instead of zombie whatever you can think of, it's going to be vampire whatever you can think of.
But you know what else is in this year?
What?
Goats.
Oh my goodness, goats are everywhere. They have live goats at Comic-Con.
Bat?
I did not see these goats, so I cannot attest to this fact.
See, the Ready Party One party, it's a lot of parties in one statement. Their theme this year was Love and Thunder. And if you've seen Thor Love and Thunder, there's two goats in the movie. They're a big part of the movie. They're great goats. Thor loves goats. And they actually brought two goats that look like those goats to the Love and Thunder party. And people could meet them. It was like a petting zoo vibe. But also Severance?
Yeah, I was curious about that. They showed bloopers, which was really cute. And there were two goats that just kind of seemed to wander onto the set accident. And the production people were trying to wrangle them back. Maybe they came in too soon off their cue. I don't know. I'm like, why are there goats in this show?
It was Bring Your Goat to Work Day.
I'm just thinking still back to the Halloween costume of the vampire and then have the goat as your familiar.
Or maybe you're a vampire goat.
Ew.
We're just giving people possible cosplay ideas for next year's Comic-Con.
See, now I'm seeing Vampire Academy people drinking goat blood. No.
Oh my goodness. All right, a couple other highlights for today. And this honestly might be one of my biggest highlights of Comic-Con so far, was an activation that me and Kristen attended this morning for my favorite new sitcom of, I had to think and make sure it really is. I'm actually going to call this one a proper sitcom because it, and the other show I'm thinking of, still a half hour comedy, but it's not on a network, so we'll make it a close second. So basically, I love what Our Flag Means Death. That's what is competing with me in my brain. But the other show that I think trumps it is Ghosts on CBS.
I love this show.
Ghosts is not at all what I expected it to be. And it is hilarious. And it's basically, you know, this couple buys this old house and wants to turn it into a B&B. And it's a new life, a career path for them. And this place is haunted. And Rose, when she first moves in, Rose McIver is the lead. What's her character name? Do you remember? Anyway, so Rose falls down the staircase and hits her head in a way that she can now see ghosts. So before she couldn't see them, and it shows she's the only one that can see them from the living. And she gets to interact with all these goats. Goats?
See, they're everywhere.
Goats are on my brain. These ghosts from, like, throughout time, going all the way back to, like, a Viking, you know? And then most, I guess not most recently, but my favorite is Isaac, who is our Revolutionary War military officer.
There's the businessman. He's from the 80s.
Yes, there's that. And Pete, yeah.
Of course. Pete. Yes. And Pete is important for what you're going to go into next.
Yes. So anyway, so like we were saying, best activation, I think, hands down so far of Comic-Con is the ghost activation. And it's Pete's friend zone. Pete was murdered by his Boy Scout troop, basically. Was that like where the arrow came from? So he was a Boy Scout leader and they were practicing archery and he got a arrow straight through his neck. And so this is like basically like a Boy Scout campground. And there's all these little activities to do. And there's a fun little photo booth. There's an archery area. And everything you're doing, you're earning badges like you would in Boy Scouts. And then you can redeem your badges at the canteen for ghosts merchandise. So they have coffee mugs and bandanas and whistles and sunscreen. Very important.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The most important, sunscreen.
Yep. And then they had a tarot reading with a custom ghost stack of tarot cards. And I pulled the devil, which was Hetty's husband or ex-husband or like that. That's the card, the character on the card, which was so appropriate that he was the devil. And what did you get?
I pulled Pete.
Oh, that's right.
Which Pete was the temperance. Yes.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. Loved that activation.
That was highly enjoyable. There was also free tea.
Yes, anywhere with tea. Back to the tea. Was there blood in the tea?
I did not taste it.
Okay.
It was very delicious.
So Pete wasn't pouring any blood from his arrow injury. Good to know.
That was probably the best prize you could get, is an arrow to stick through your very own neck.
Yes, they were giving those out as well, which I then worried about because I had to go through so many bag checks at Comic-Con that somebody would think I had a bow and arrow, like a weapon, and take my gift away from me the rest of the day. Surprisingly, I had the arrow sticking straight up out of my bag, like the point of it, which is actually kind of sharp. And multiple security guards looked at it and went, yeah, you're good. Like, they didn't pull it out to see that it was a prank arrow. Well done, Comic-Con.
Well, we just talked about our favorite thing that we did today. But before we go any further, I'd like to mention my least favorite part of the day.
Oh?
Oh, yes. And that was the weather.
Oh, dear Lord. What is happening with the weather these days?
Now, I understand we're going through a heat wave across the country. But I was just very excited when I looked at the weather forecast last week.
This is what I mean. Why can't the weather forecast get it right lately?
It was supposed to be lovely, lovely temperatures all week. And what have we instead come down to San Diego to find?
Heat wave.
Muggy.
Humid. Sticky. Yeah, so it was supposed to be a high of 74 today. And even when I went to bed last night, it still said 74. And then today got probably above 80. It says it only hit 80, but we had like 85% humidity. So it definitely felt hotter than that. That was gnarly. And this keeps happening, even in LA. Like, I remember before we left, it was supposed to be like no higher than 78 one day, and it got to 90 degrees. I'm used to the weather forecast being off by 3 or 4 degrees. 12 degrees is gnarly.
It was uncomfortable.
Yes.
But we did suffer through the discomfort to do some cool things, like we were talking about the ghost activation. We also stopped by and we saw Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And Doctor Strange.
Yes.
And the Bob's Burgers was fun because we got a free burger, which I love.
That was it. You just love Bob's Burgers because they gave you a free
burger. Yes, I like the food. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
We support totally free food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just surprised that the Bob's Burgers burger was your highlight over the Scholastic party we went to.
Oh, I was just saying what was worth suffering through the heat through.
Ah, I see. But speaking of that Scholastic party, though, epic swag, amazing food, really fun photo booth. Like, I did not expect anything from the Scholastic mixer, and it might be the best party of Comic-Con.
Book people are the best people.
And the dessert was good. I had Haagen-Dazs ice cream and this cute little cookie. And for some reason, I got fascinated by the cookie because I like cooking. So I remember doing a lot of watching cooking videos during COVID lockdown, and I watched a lot of cookie videos and how they make royal icing and make the swirling. And it was just a really well-designed cookie, and it tasted good, and I hated to eat it because it was so pretty, but it was tasty. So I got good food, good dessert, bag of books. I'm okay.
Yeah, not bad. And then we closed the day off with a trip over to the Her Universe fashion show, where we got to see Ashley Eckstein and Nina West announce this year's winners. And oh my goodness, the audience choice winner, I think his name was Michael, made this Doctor Strange suit with coat, and the detail was incredible. And it was just like, I was kind of shocked that it was the audience winner at first. And I was like, really? Because I didn't notice the inside of his cape. And the outside of the cape had this amazing detail with, like, you could see like the spells and stuff subtly into the cape, which was amazing. And I liked that his suit kind of had a little tail skirt to it on one side. But like, I was like, really? Audience winner? And then this cape opens up and the inside is just shiny. It's like, sparkly silver, that's pretty. And then as he walks down the runway, getting closer and closer, you realize the inside of the cape is the mirror dimension. And it was incredible, just absolutely incredible. But there were so many amazing pieces, like the Gondor dress and the Hades look that was designed. Really had a lot of fun with that. And yeah, I think that takes us through the first couple days of Comic-Con. We still need to walk around the floor much more. There's still quite a few activations we haven't gone to, like the Severance activation, and FX has a big one, or we're doing one with Abbott Elementary in the morning. We also have tons of great panels and press rooms to look forward to. What are some of the things you guys are looking forward to?
Oh gosh, what is tomorrow?
Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday. What do we got going Friday? The Abbott Elementary, duh.
Keanu Reeves is going to be present in Hall H tomorrow, which I find very exciting for the Berserker panel.
I'm really excited for the Lord of the Rings panel and then the Marvel Studios panel on Saturday, which is always my favorite part of Comic-Con.
Haven't even thought about Saturday. Saturday, I'm most excited about the Sandman panel.
Oh, and we what we did confirm an interview for Interview with a Vampire. So, and who's one of the stars of Interview with a Vampire? Some dude named Jacob Anderson. Don't know if anybody knows who he is. Some dude on Game of Thrones. Kind of Grey Worm-ish. Yeah. So Grey Worm is in Interview with a Vampire. And so we'll get to talk to him on Saturday.
So the Interview with a Vampire is a press conference, so you will not actually directly be talking to him. And there will be no video or photos allowed there.
Oh, damn it.
But you'll get to see him. So
okay. That's, yeah. That's something.
But we do have interviews with the cast of the Orville, which I'm really excited about.
Orville's always a good time. Always a good time. Weren't we there for their first year?
The very first year, yes.
Yeah.
And since then, they have changed networks. They are now a Hulu original. And I love this new season so much. It's actually, this is, I think, yeah, it's the first San Diego Comic-Con now that we have all of the streaming services. Like, even, like, Disney Plus didn't launch until November of 2019. So there was no HBO Max last time we were here. No Paramount Plus, no Disney Plus,
no Peacock.
We only had Amazon Prime Video at that point and Netflix.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. I guess one of the things we also kind of didn't talk about, because people tuning in right now might be interested on more of the differences. How's the crowds been?
Not surprisingly. I mean, this is the first Comic-Con since 2019. So the first post-COVID Comic-Con. It's expected that the crowds are light. They are light. Not mad at it. You can tell it's the Comic-Con trying to find its groove again, and it's going to take a minute. But for the first year back, you know, this is good because, number one, we got to learn how to walk again. We have to learn how to navigate the floors again. We have to learn how to, where is this room again? I went to the wrong place for a press room today because I forgot how we did this. So
that was a conversation that was happening with a lot of the press too. Not that they were forgetting where to go, but everyone just felt rusty. Like, how do I turn on my camera? Where does the microphone go? Like, just everyone's just kind of like, I know we do this all the time, but why does it feel like we've never done it before? It's definitely a weird year.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, the crowds are lighter, but you know, they'll get better. They'll get bigger, but I don't think any of us mind.
I mean, we're only
crowd.
On Thursday. The crowds will get a little bit bigger tomorrow. They'll be at their peak on Saturday, but you guys have spent more time on the floor than I have. I haven't noticed any major bottlenecking. Usually, even crossing from the convention center into Gaslamp Corner, there's usually a giant congestion right there by the trolley. And it's been maybe 20% of what I'm used to. And I'm personally loving it, but it's weird.
Yeah, not even half the amount of cosplayers that you would normally have at a Comic-Con. Cosplay is almost non-existent.
Which I feel like that pattern was starting in 2019. I do remember us having a conversation on a previous podcast in 2019 being like, where are the cosplayers?
Yeah, when they stopped allowing people, just the general public, into being able to cross the tracks and get into the convention center. That's where we started seeing a lot less cosplay people in the convention center. They were on the streets, but they couldn't get into the convention center because they didn't actually have badges.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Any other changes, Kristen, that you've noticed?
I think that's the big one is the crowds, the makeup of the crowds, and getting into the panels. I guess the last couple years we've been to Comic-Con, must be 2018, 2019, we noticed that it was easier to get into panel rooms, but it's even easier this year.
The big change that I've noticed, and I know a lot of people have picked up on this too, is where is Warner Brothers? There is no WB booth. I think we discovered there's two bags, Comic-Con bags, that they did come from WB this year, but there's only two designs, and they're basic DC comics, like old school Comic-Con style of just doing comics, but nothing off their shows. There's some signage around Gaslamp for some CW shows, but there's no CW panels. Warner Brothers Television doesn't have any shows here. Riverdale even pulled out. It's bizarre. It's just crickets from Warner Brothers.
And those are some of our favorite rooms.
And I mean, they're usually the majority of Comic-Con too. They usually have, you know, 25 to 30 shows at Comic-Con and just nothing.
I'm just thinking about how often we spent in CW press rooms. Like, yeah. 2000, what, 18, 17, 18, 19? It's like, yeah, we lived in CW press rooms.
Yeah, we did. I was like, and literally, one of our big routines of Comic-Con was always the Supernatural panel, and obviously Supernatural has ended now, but the Winchesters is just coming out. Why? Why wasn't there a panel for the Winchesters?
That would have been perfect.
Yeah. We were also talking about how weird it is to not have a Big Bang Theory panel anymore, and why not bring Young Sheldon, which is another Warner Brothers show.
We could add Walker. That would have been fun.
Oh, yeah. Walker would. Oh, my God. Walker leading into the Winchesters as a panel just to get all the Jensen and Jared fans.
Followed by the boys.
And my disappointment, nothing South Park.
Yeah, no, nothing. South Park here. Which South Park is, they're Viacom. I was like, yeah, so that's, Viacom does have a presence. There's a lot of Paramount and CBS. That's interesting. That is very interesting. Yeah, also on the point of Supernatural not being here with Winchesters and whatnot and having that connection, shocked that the boys isn't here because Amazon does have Lord of the Rings here and some other setups, and the boys have been here in the past. I didn't even think about that till now. But I lost my train of thought.
I was anxious to hear where this was going. Speaking of Supernatural, starts your statement.
Yeah, I'm sure it will come back to me. It just went, and this is how exhausted we are, guys. It's only Thursday. We've had one full day of Comic-Con, and I'm like, what? We have 3 more days to go.
Help me.
Yeah, it's really bizarre to have all the streaming services here because there's so much content also that's not here. So the Her Universe fashion show also had an Our Flag Means Death fashion design. And Our Flag Means Death has definitely built into a cult following. I'm shocked that Our Flag Means Death isn't here. But again, HBO Max, which is Warner Brothers, like, really just dropped the ball where they could have there.
Wait a minute. There was nothing Stars or Showtime here either.
Yeah, Outlander is not here. Huh. Mm-hmm. It's another one missing. Oh, I remembered my train of thought. You ready? The other one not here, Doctor Who. And no BBC in general. There's no, like, Sherlock updates. Stephen Moffat's not here with something, which is weird. But Stephen Moffat has a new show, that Time Traveler's Wife, HBO Max, which is fantastic. I love this series so much. And again, Warner Brothers didn't bring that one either. That would have been a perfect one for Comic-Con. So strange. But yeah, Doctor Who even has a new Doctor announcement and huge news about Tennant returning. What? How is it not at Comic-Con?
Now that would have filled Hall H.
Yes, 100%. No, okay, ready? Saturday schedule. You start with Walker, Winchesters, the boys, into Doctor Who with David Tennant on a panel. That thing would have had an overnight camp out.
Yes.
And dear Comic-Con, let us plan next year for you.
Wouldn't that be great?
Right. All right. On that note, we'll be back on Saturday night to recap Friday and Saturday for you and then give you a little bit more about what we might get into on Sunday that you can see on our YouTube channel or on our TikTok. In the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys in 48 hours.